321-8255. Email sundayhousecall@cfra.com. Now here's Dr. Barry Dworkin.
Good afternoon and welcome to edition number 296 of Sunday House Call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. I'm broadcasting live from the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA and taking your calls at 521-TALK, 521-8255, star 580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-2372 for all our listeners outside of the 613 calling area. And I'd like to also mention that lines are open right now. If you call in now, we'll get you on. As what happens in the past, what tends to actually happens every week, is that people tend to call in towards the end. There's something that they hear about in a discussion with another question that a caller has asked, and it twigs their curiosity and they call in. But unfortunately, sometimes what happens is we run out of time at the end, and it's a bit frustrating. So if you want to call in now. More than happy to speak with you at 521-TALK, 521-8255, star 580 on Bell Mobility. 1-800-580-2372 is the number to call. And I wanted to bring up first two things. One that's in the news today, and that I have to question what's going on with Health Canada. Health Canada announced 2 days ago on Friday that it's authorizing the use of caffeine as a food additive in all carbonated soft drinks. Whereas before it was in cola type soft drinks only, they are now allowing it across the board in your orange soda, in your lemon, in the lemon lime, now Sprite, 7-Up, all those kinds of sodas that never had caffeine in it before. Now, currently, this is done in the United States and in Europe as well, but nevertheless, this is something new for Canada. Health Canada is saying that there's extensive scientific evidence that determined that 150 parts per million poses no health risk, and then they say as long as consumers don't exceed the recommended maximum daily intake of caffeine, and those maximums are about 85 milligrams a day, or about 2 cans of 85 milligrams for children, which is about 2 cans of pop, and a little bit more for adults. Nevertheless, they then go on to say that pregnant and breastfeeding women have to be careful because consuming too much caffeine may have a higher risk of miscarriage. Not saying what the risk is, but that there's a higher risk. So my question to you is, what is the advantage of doing this in the first place? Why are they allowing caffeine now in all the sodas as opposed to what we've had up to now? What health advantage does this confer? And Health Canada is encouraging then at the same time in this press release for Canadians to monitor their intake of caffeine. So if I understand this correctly, they approve the use willy-nilly of putting caffeine into now all soft drinks and advising the manufacturers to please, please put the labels on and tell people how much caffeine is in, but it's voluntary. We're not going to force you to do that. And then asking Canadians after they put this in and say, well, the evidence says that it's not harmful if you stay below a certain level, that we want you to monitor it now because now you have a lot more products that you have to look after, as if you don't have to look after other things as well. So I'm a bit curious and sort of quizzical about why they would even go about doing this. What is it that makes it so imperative to approve now across the board adding caffeine, which we know, you know, in small quantities, true, does not do much harm to you. But there are people who have caffeineism. It is a drug. I mean, just look at people who try to stop heavy coffee drinking. What happens to them? People who wake up in the morning and always say, I need to have my morning coffee to settle myself down. They're more irritable because of the withdrawal effects of the caffeine. So it's not something that just does nothing. So that is one of the, I'd say, weird things that I still don't understand what's going on with Health Canada. 521-TALK, 521-8255, star 580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-2372 outside of our calling area. And we're going to go to line one and speak to Rick. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Yes.
It's Rick.
Yes. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I'm just calling to thank you. I got picked up that package at the front desk on Friday.
Oh, good.
And I just want to thank you for all the trouble you've taken, and I want to thank Mike Murphy too, who was involved.
Yeah, Mike was. I had prepared it for you, but we were so busy on Wednesday that I forgot to print it up. So I just sent him everything by email. He printed it up for you, and left it. But it's quite a number of pages, isn't it?
It is. It's interesting. It's very interesting reading.
Now, for our listeners, Rick had called asking questions about and very important questions with regards to the percentages of. When we hear about risks of taking certain medications, in this case, it was hydrochlorothiazide, which is a diuretic, and nifedipine, which is a calcium channel blocker used to treat high blood pressure. And it's more so that when you look at the information that's available, it just gives you a list of possible side effects, but doesn't tell you, you know, is it a 1 in 10 risk, a 1 in 100 risk, a 1 in 1,000 risk? And so everything seems to come out all the same. You get that also in... I'm sure you've seen this, Rick, and when you get the information from the pharmacies, they print out all the information, but they don't stratify the risk. They just say, you may have this, 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 and this, without telling you which one might be more common.
Well, that's what prompted my initial call, because when you read that booklet that you get from the pharmacy, it's the way it's printed out is like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it gives, I mean, I think it's good that information is given out, but I think the information has to have context with it, and I think that's what's missing.
It has none, actually, from what you get. There's no context to it at all.
Right, but I think you found with the information that I gave you, you saw that section on side effects, and they gave the percentages for everything.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that'll enable me to make my decision.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that was very helpful for you, Rick.
Well, I want to thank you.
Oh, you're very
great
welcome.
Service.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And we're going to take a small break, and because we're coming up in about 40 seconds to the break anyway. And then when we come back, we have John, who has a question about signs of dementia, and Joseph has a question about neuropathy, and Henry's topic is about to come up very soon. 521-TALK, 521-8255 is the number to call. *580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-2372. Outside of our 613 calling area, I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call. Back with your calls after these messages.
Sunday House Call with Dr. Barry Dworkin is brought to you in part by livinghealthychamplain.ca, helping you take control of your health.
580 CFRA Sunday House Call, your weekly checkup with Dr. Barry Dworkin. Call us at 521-TALK, 521-8255, or email the doctor, sundayhousecall@cfra.com. News Talk Radio 580.
And we are going to go to line number 2 and speak to Joseph. Good afternoon.
Dr. Dworkin?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was daydreaming here a bit.
Okay,
I believe it was on the Steve Madeley morning show one time. You mentioned they had a breakthrough in the treating the pain of neuropathy. You had mentioned a combination of Lyrica and Gabra something or another.
Yeah, there are a few medications that they found in combination that tended to work quite well. And there were different ones. One of them was called amitriptyline, another one Lyrica or pregabalin,
yes.
Gabapentin was another one. And they were looking at the combinations of these medications as opposed to use individually, and finding that the combinations tended to work much better at controlling pain or neuropathic pain for these individuals. So typically what you're trying to do as well is you are trying to reduce in some ways some of the conventional pain medications that have been used in the past. So we're talking about medications that are more narcotic-based or opioid-based. So the codeines, morphines, hydrocodones, those kind of medications, which especially for people who are older, can cause constipation, can cause tolerance over time. And you end up in this vicious cycle going around and around, increasing doses as the person gets used to it. They don't necessarily become addicted to the medication, but it becomes less useful. And so they're not drug seeking. They just find, which is what addiction tends to be, is when you're looking for the next dose of the medication, but they just become used to the medication and you need to increase the dose to try and control their pain. So what you're trying to do is to minimize the use of those medications, minimizing side effects as well, and switching to other medications that may provide better relief. And in, with regards to neuropathy, there are combinations. I mean, what we tend to find is using standard, in addition to standard medications such as acetaminophen or Tylenol or anti-inflammatories. And for older folks, you may want to use something like Celebrex or as to reduce the chance of causing problems with the stomach. Those medications may help a bit, but then the addition of, for example, amitriptyline or Lyrica or pregabalin or Neurontin or gabapentin, those medications can tend to work quite well, and the dose is adjusted gradually. You always start at low doses and gradually increase those doses as the patient responds to and comes back and lets you know how they're responding. So we usually will ask people to rate their pain, and the pain is on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is the most unbearable pain a person has had and 1 is the most tolerable. And you're aiming for chronic pain relief. It's very rare to see someone go all the way down to 1. They usually hover around 3 or 4. You'd like it to go lower, but when from a relative standpoint, when someone is suffering at 8 to 9 and they go down to 3 to 4, they're very happy and they're able to manage it. It's almost like a dull ache from time to time, but not anything that inhibits or obstructs their ability to carry on their day-to-day functioning.
So, now, is it as simple a matter as taking one of each tablet? One of, say, Lyrica and one of this Gabardin? Or?
Well, you wouldn't mix the pregabalin or the Lyrica with gabapentin or Neurontin, which is the brand name. Usually they're in a similar class of medication, so you'd use one or the other. The issue with these medications is not with the medication themselves, it's the funding of them. So in Ontario, these medications are not covered when you use it to treat neuropathic pain. They are covered to treat epilepsy with regards to Neurontin, but otherwise, it's a real catch-22. In fact, what tends to happen is someone who has neuropathic pain, they have to actually try gabapentin, amitriptyline, anti-inflammatories, other pain medications first before you can apply to the government to ask for permission from the board that oversees dispensation and funding for medications that aren't covered, and it's called a Section 8. So you have to try gabapentin first and all the other stuff, but the gabapentin's not covered, so you have to pay for the gabapentin. But if you can't afford the gabapentin, you can't get the gabapentin, so you can't apply for the Lyrica.
Yeah.
So you see how that lovely thing works. So
it's not coming on the market right away. I thought it was one drug made up of the two.
No, they're separate medications. And in fact, you'd like to keep it separate. And the reason is that you have more control over the dosing as opposed to putting two things together where you may end up getting too much of one and not enough of another.
Are you in a position to suggest which two I should try?
Usually what I recommend for people, your neuropathic pain, is there a specific cause to it? Was there something that led to its development in the first place?
I think it's stenosis of the spinal column.
So you're having spinal stenosis and you're getting pain in your legs and in your back?
In my feet and my legs.
Okay.